You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Aftertaste.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back to Binge Media.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Three journeymen podcasters embark on an adventure of getting through four famous movies about sharks and then filling your ear holes with detailed reviews.
Here come my pride and joy.
Join Garrett.
That's a 20-footer. 25. 3 tons of
Law.
And I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one up close. And you better do something about this one because I don't intend to go through that hell again.
And Nate.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
As they watch all four Jaws films with a certain Brit watching the sequels for the very first time.
You son of a...
Will they finish their mission? Will Nate get swallowed whole by Law and Garrett's love of these four shark tales?
See, you got your rubbers!
Or will the Binge community end up terrorized because of the three's insistence on fighting?
Well, this is not a boat accident. There wasn't any propeller. There wasn't any coral reef. And it wasn't Jack the Ripper.
It was a shark.
Find out in these four upcoming podcasts, courtesy of Binge Media.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Jaws 3, released July 22nd, 1983. Budget was $18 million. Box office, $88 million. And is directed by Joe Alves. We are halfway through the retrospective. We finished Jaws 2. We are now what some would call the downward slide of the franchise. We are at Jaws 3. Before I get into my story behind this, Law, what's your story behind Jaws 3?
Jaws 3 was in a theater in 3D with the fucking stupid cardboard fucking 3D glasses. You know what? There's a whole generation of fucking people that are alive right now that don't know what the cardboard 3D glasses are.
Yep.
They just know the plastic ones that you hand back in when you're done the 3D fucking movies. So we used to get the plastic 3D glasses. Sometimes you would get them in a fucking cereal box or some shit. Like you just have 3D glasses. But they were the worst fucking shittiest glasses of all time.
One red, one blue. I remember that.
Yep, that was the key. That was the key to 3D glasses is the one. Yep. Fucking lenses on the glasses. Yeah. So this was a big deal. 3D movies were not a big deal back then, but this was because first of all, it was a Jaws movie, and second of all, it was Jaws 3D. I was very excited about Jaws 3D.
Yes. And you actually saw this in theaters, huh?
Yep.
Nate, this was your first time watching, correct?
It was, and unfortunately I didn't get the shitty cardboard 3D glasses. I feel that might have enhanced my viewing pleasure. I would actually genuinely, without any spoilers of how I feel about this film, I think I would have liked to have seen this in 3D, because there's definitely a few shots in here which, in 2017, don't look all that great. And I would like to see what they were intended to look like. I feel like it would have been the 1983 Avatar equivalent. But...
You are being so diplomatic right now. It's insane.
I'm the only sober guy on this podcast. I've got to be diplomatic.
Is there a 3D version of this like available now that you could buy for your home?
Not that I know of.
Surely.
I haven't watched it in 3D. I was actually looking into that to maybe do it for this podcast because I really wanted to see it in 3D for this podcast. But
you
no.
You have a 3D TV.
Yes, I have a capable 3D TV at my house. I wanted to get like one of those 3D Blu-rays to actually watch it on there, but I couldn't. I hadn't seen this in 3D. This was the first movie, the first Jaws movie I saw. This was my virgin experience seeing Jaws. And as a kid, this movie was fucking awesome. I loved this movie as a kid. And I couldn't get enough of it. And then, like, when I brought it over to a house I was staying at one time, and my friend was just like, have you seen the first one? I'm like, no, I just thought it was called Jaws 3D because it was cool. He's like, oh, no. He's like,
hold on. You didn't know that
no.
there was
no.
Jaws movies?
No, I was fucking 8 years old. No.
That is an awesome story right there.
Yeah, I thought it's just called Jaws 3D because it was 3D. You know, I mean, you look at the poster of this movie, Jaws 3D. You know, it doesn't say Jaws 3. It says Jaws 3D. When I looked in the TV guide that my parents used to get, it said Jaws 3D. So I'm thinking, okay, it's in 3D, but it's not on my TV. It's in 3D.
Oh, Garrett's going to give this an 11 on 10. Or I can already feel it. He's already drinking the member berry juice. He's already there.
So when I went to my friend's house, I said, yes, I love this movie. He's like, well, you need to see the first one because the way he described it, the first movie was a woman is out in the water laying on her back and she pops because Jaws bites into her. I'm like, I need to see that. Of course, that never came to be. That's how he described the first Jaws movie to me. I'm like, I need to see that. It didn't happen.
So do you think the first one was called Jaws 1D?
I did think it was called Jaws 1. Like, if you see that my videotapes from my as a kid, there was like my mom had put Jaws on the videotape, and I put a big 1 next to it because it was the first movie. So I put Jaws 1. And
brilliant.
Yeah. Let's talk about the backstory of this movie real quick. If we dwell on this, we can be here all night.
Yeah.
And it certainly seems like we have been. When this movie was getting made, the producers wanted to call it – do you remember – you've heard the story, right, Law, what they wanted to do with this?
I don't think so.
They wanted to turn it into satire because they made two movies that were terrifying at the time. They wanted to say, okay, we've made it scary. People aren't really scared of sharks much anymore. Let's just make it a satire. They wanted to call it Jaws 3, People Nothing. And
oh, yes. I just
yep. They nabbed a young director by the name of Joe Dante to helm this thing.
Nice.
And then the studio was like, you know what? You got to go the Jaws route, and we're not going to go parody. But you know what? The more I read about that parody, the more I wanted to see. I want to see it. I thought it could be.
I'm in the middle of watching The Death of Superman Lives.
Uh-huh.
And watching that and hearing stories like that, it just makes you wonder how crazy these studio executives are. They're just the amount of bullshit that goes on behind the scenes and the amount of ideas that must get toyed around that never make it to the cinema. These people are crazy. These people are genuinely crazy that make these films.
Yeah.
How far, Garrett, did they get along that process?
Not too much. They worked on it for a bit, but then like the studio pretty much put the kibosh on it. Like, they had just hired Joe Dante to do it. Joe Dante was up for it, but the studio was like, no, we're gonna continue the Brody story. We're gonna make it another Jaws movie. Your guys' idea sucks.
I wonder, like, 83, was there other satires out there? Because obviously there was
Airplane.
Airplane, okay.
Yeah, Airplane was out. And if you recall, that has a Jaws joke in it as well, if you remember. It's got the fin in the clouds.
Yeah, because it seems like if this was, like, mid-90s, it would have definitely been a satire. Like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, that trend hit a little late. This seems like, that idea seems like it was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of with you guys. I don't think it's a worse movie if that happens.
When the studio canned Joe Dante, they ended up with the director who was actually an assistant on the other two films, a director by the name of Joe Alves, a guy who has this on his resume as a director, and that's pretty much it. I don't think he went on to do anything else. This was his one big thing. And if you remember, guys, and I talked to Carl Gottlieb about this when I had him on the show, they hired a writer by the name of Richard Matheson to do a script on this movie. His name is in the credits. How much of that script was used is very up for debate. In fact, if you remember my interview with Gottlieb, he did say that his script was pretty much discarded. There's only one or two scenes from his script in it. You know, Matheson, a famous writer for I Am Legend and several Twilight Zone episodes. So he was a really well-renowned writer, and he turned in a script for this, and Carl Gottlieb did a polish on it, and we have what we have.
Do you know if that's available anywhere, that Matheson Jaws 3 script?
I have no idea. I haven't read it.
I would love that.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. I'd be interested to see what he did. Maybe he took it as a paycheck, and maybe he just kind of wrote it out on a cocaine-filled night. I don't know. But
I want to know if it was the theme park thing him? You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah,
what,
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we start off with the Jaws theme. Pretty cool. Visions of underwater. And then the violent death of a catfish.
A catfish whose head decapitates and floats around still sort of just breathing. It's such a weird fucking open. This whole film is weird. And at least it sets the tone very early. I appreciate that this was obviously done for the 3D guys. Back in those days when 3D was very, very much in its infancy, I would have imagined that this might have maybe looked good. I don't know. Or at least would have been a great start to this 3D adventure that we're about to go on. But yeah, it's just weird, the blood just suddenly appearing, just a screen full of red. Oh, it's just a fucking weird opening compared to what we had in the first two films. It's just very odd.
Look at the two openings to the first two movies. Obviously, the first one was a masterpiece. The second one was okay, played homage to the first one. This one, he kills a fish, and it's just... I understand they wanted to use the 3D right off the hop. You got to get the audience in the theater ready for what's to come, but it's a fucking fish. There's no explanation as to how lame this opening is with this movie.
Why couldn't they have done exactly the same scene but with a scuba diver? Just had his floating head. I don't know.
Because PG-13 wasn't out at the time, that's why.
I watched this last week at the cottage with 20 fucking people, okay? Kids. Every time the 3D parts came on, everyone was just like, "What? Crazy!" It was one of the best screenings of all time because it was so stupid, and we overreacted to the 3D scenes exactly how they wanted us to react. So this fifth scene set the stage for an amazing screening of Jaws 3D. Let me tell you. Nice.
How long did they fucking keep that shot on that catfish head? I mean, it was 10 seconds.
Every 3D scene in this movie. How long did they do this for? It is one of the worst 3D movies of all time for using the gimmick way too long.
Yes.
Everything they do in 3D here is ridiculously too long.
Absolutely. I've made note of a couple of other scenes that's just they just linger on it for a weird amount of time. Like I say, weird, weird 3D. This should be called. It's
weird. 3D. Weird-y.
Weird 3D. Weird-y.
I liked weird 1D way better.
You're gonna need bigger glasses.
That's so stupid. And no body. There's no lungs. There's no lungs in the fish.
It's still moving its mouth. He doesn't even know he's been eaten yet.
I want to point out as we get to the skiers here that I love the Jaws theme, obviously. The Williams Jaws theme is tremendous. That the second score was pretty bad, except when that theme and that final bit of music played. But the music in this movie, holy shit, way too many horns. Jaws theme not used enough. I hate the music in this movie. Hate it.
Again, I didn't really notice it one way or the other. I didn't care.
Yeah,
there's just a couple of times I did notice it, and it's not good.
Just a ton of horns. There's one piece that I actually kind of like. We'll get to it here in a little bit, but man, for the most part, music's just terrible. We see Leah Thompson as a girl who's on the SeaWorld ski team. And man, how hot was she back then, huh?
I am watching it as we go along here. And I'm
Are you really?
Yeah, I am watching it. She's pretty fucking hot. I'm not going to lie to you. little fucking bikini here. She's looking good. But she's not close to as sexy as the dude on the dock. Like, there's not even...
Oh, the beef, that beef dude? Yeah.
He's pretty hot. Yeah, I didn't even recognize her in this, actually, at first. And it caused a bit of a discussion between me and my wife. And she ended up winning and having a shit-eating grin, as she smugly told me that she was right. But yeah, I didn't recognize her until the second half of this film.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Was this your wife's first time watching it, too?
She wasn't sure. She thinks she may have seen it, but...
It was obviously a forgettable experience if she did.
I think she probably hasn't, because I think you'll remember this for the rest of your life. This may be more memorable than Jaws 1D. Is it too late to change the aftertaste from the first episode to change it to Jaws 1D? Because I feel like they should all be Ds now.
Yes. I'm totally in agreement with this.
I'm looking forward to 4D.
It is too late. It is too late. We are then introduced to the Step and Fetch It dialect from Oscar winner Louis Gossett Jr. Coming off winning that Oscar, what is this fucking accent? And how did this guy go from Roots and Officer and a Gentleman to this money-grabbing role? I will admit, every single time he is on screen, I do laugh. I mean, I can't get a smile off my face every time he's on screen. His fucking dialect in this movie is hilarious at times. But fuck, I mean, it just follows that whole Halle Berry, Charlize Theron thing of, I'm going to take a shitty role after I win an Oscar because it pays a lot of money.
There's no question in my mind that Louis Gossett Jr. is the best part of this movie, because he's so hilarious.
Oh, it's...
Everything he says is over the top and fucking way overacted, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, he's easily my favorite part of this film as well. But I don't. Let's not limit the shitty dialogue conversation to him, because this film's littered with it. This is an awful dialogue film.
Oh yeah.
Let's not just attack Lewis. Let's leave him be. But he's entertaining for the most part in this.
There's some decent.
I love that they just subtly stood up for Lewis guys.
Hey, he's my boy. He's my
favorite part of the movie, but you're like totally like, look at, just fucking relax on Louis Gossett Jr., okay? Just fucking relax, because there's a lot worse going on in this movie.
Yes, there is.
Black guy.
Let's just calm it down, guys. You've had a couple of drinks and you're getting a bit rowdy.
There's some decent dialogue. I'm not going to say all the dialogue's bad. There are a couple instances where I don't mind the dialogue. Every time Gossett's on screen, though, it's just like, wow. It is comedy gold, though.
The one thing that struck me about this entire scene, though, was just amazement that SeaWorld attached their name to this. I know. It's such a surprising thing to think we're a huge water park, and we're going to attach our name to a film that's about how dangerous water parks could be. It just seems like, I'm not going to say negative press, because obviously everyone knows it's fiction. If I was McDonald's, I wouldn't want my name attached to a film about food poisoning. It's just a weird... It's just a weird bit of advertising for them, promotion for them.
Not only that, Nate, but you're also showing how incompetent their workers are, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes everything about this park look bad. I agree. Like, that is product placement at its absolute worst. You're putting your park in here to get advertising, but holy shit, does the park look terrible with this.
There's not one thing we go, I might go and visit SeaWorld next year. You know, might get attacked by a shark.
At the same time, though, do you appreciate it? That it's actually SeaWorld and not some, it's not like fucking Dolphin World or some shit. Like, do you appreciate that it's actually SeaWorld?
Yes, they say it's SeaWorld.
Yeah,
so.
I kind of do too. I'm kind of like, eh, it's cool. It's SeaWorld.
Yeah, but no.
Yet another reversal of a review.
It's just a weird thing to attach your name to. I don't know. Like, obviously, it's such an over-the-top fiction thing that obviously nobody realistically is going to watch this and go, I'm not going to go next year just in case, because it doesn't happen in real life. But at the same time, I just think it's an odd product placement.
It is. It's awful, but I kind of appreciate that they did it. I don't know why. And by the way, the dolphins. Can we talk about the dolphins yet, Garrett?
Go for it.
Dolphins.
Okay. So we're watching this at the cottage. My niece and nephews, they were in, I think it was Florida. They went swimming with dolphins, and they were told that the dolphin they're swimming with was the star of Jaws 3D.
No!
They swam with one of these fucking dolphins, and they were so into it because of that. It was amazing.
That is awesome.
Wow.
We then meet Mike Brody, played by Dennis Quaid. who has gone from painting cabanas on the beach to a very specialized field of underwater theme park construction. I mean, within a span of a few years, how much college did he have to take for this?
And we obviously see Sean later on in the film.
Yes.
Just to jump ahead, obviously being absolutely terrified of going in the water. Mm-hmm. So it interests me that Mike is actually goes the opposite way and is obviously interests him, you know, the whole marine biology side of life.
They were both there in Jaws 2. So why then, did it affect one way and not scare the fuck out of the other one? Like, I don't understand why he would choose this line of work. It seems weird.
Michael was knocked out for a bit, so he doesn't remember much of it.
It obviously put a lot of smarts in him because he went through this college really quick in order to get this job because that is a crazy field.
There is a part when he's talking to I can't remember the name of his girlfriend.
Okay.
He's talking to her and he says something like, oh, you remember that time that I told you about where we were in the sea and a shark attacked us? Like, it's the most casual thing that would ever happen to somebody. He's just like, oh no, I don't remember you telling me about that shark attack from 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You feel like he could add to that story every time it gets brought up. He's like, oh, by the way, did I mention that he ate a helicopter? Like, did that... You know what I mean? There's this... And then my dad blew him up with a fucking wire that he pulled from the bottom of the fucking ocean. Did I mention that part? Like, it's just so stupid.
Did I not tell you that was the second shark attack that we experienced?
The first one, well, my dad tells the story, but no one saw it. He blew him up by shooting a fucking air canister in his mouth. Can you believe that shit? It was amazing.
My mom says she was there, but I don't think she was.
She saw it, but she didn't.
I actually made a note that in many ways this was a much nicer setup of characters than Jaws 2, where it's just literally jumping from teenager to teenager and their awful jokes and their sexual tension.
The one asshole in the movie is British too, so that kind of makes you
Sorry, I forgot about not Aaron Eckhart. That fucking guy. No, I take it back. He's the fucking worst. Sorry, I've gone 180 on this. No.
But a few times on this podcast already, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the second one.
So we then see the arrival of Nate's favorite character, Philip Vitroys. And Bouchard just could not be happy to see this dude. I mean, he's on cloud nine when he sees this guy walking around.
I couldn't work out what he was, what actually does his character do. What is he famous for?
He's a photographer.
Okay, he's a photographer that also is capable of killing sharks? This is what I didn't understand. Like, I got the impression he was like an adventurer and that he was some sort of British Indiana Jones-esque type guy.
He shows up with, like, his dude, like, his second-in-command or whatever, has got a video camera on him when he gets out of the car. Like, is he like a wildlife fucking type?
Like a Steve Irwin, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I think he is.
But then later on, I caught a glimpse in a montage. He's filming people doing water skiing. This is what I mean. I couldn't actually work out what this guy was supposed to be, because one minute he seems like a photographer, next minute he seems like a Steve Irwin, and the next one he wants to kill fucking animals. I don't know what this guy does.
He's got all the weapons to do so. Like, why do you have an arsenal? What is happening right now?
I'm not going to cover it here, because I'm going to wait until we get to the scene. There's a whole raft of dialogue about how they deal with the shark that is just perfection. But at this point, yeah, I don't mind him at this point because he's not done anything, but soon enough. I think it's when he starts talking to the girlfriend, he just becomes... And I love the fact that he was British, and that made me feel so good about myself.
We then see our first human death of the film as Shelby Overman is closing the gate, and then he gets attacked. And the arm does an impression of the catfish from the beginning of the film, just staying on screen for what seemed like fucking eternity.
I love this scene. This might be the favorite scene of the movie, honestly. Where he's locking up the gate, and he keeps fucking turning around like he's something. He's on his locker. What is he hearing?
It's so bad as well. Like, I think he turns around twice to fish. Like, there's a bad music score playing. He sort of like turns around so quickly, and then like the camera a second too late, then sees a shot of a fish doing nothing. Doing nothing. It's not like it was swum up behind him or anything like that.
It's like 40 feet away.
and then we just... Don't we just then get like a close-up of the shark mouth or something like that? Or the shark...
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then just like the catfish, by the way.
Fucking... Yeah. This is bad.
And then you get his arm, his fucking arm with the bones sticking out of it. It's that extra long 3D moment. Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like, if we can see a floating arm at this stage, why couldn't we have had something similar at the start? Why exactly. couldn't we have had exactly the same thing at the beginning instead of a catfish head that's just...
Yeah.
They had eased us into this technology, boys. This is too much.
People would have been vomiting within 2 minutes of the film.
Absolutely.
We then meet Sean, played by Family Ties bit player John Putch, who's a huge movie star, not really, as a cowboy, which made me laugh. He's up on cowboy gear. It's like, boy, yeah, that's what I saw from him when he was on Amity Island.
Well, yeah, they're going for the like, you know, he's like the total opposite of water guy, right?
What's less like a shark than riding horses?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's literally the opposite.
He wins Leah Thompson's affections by beating her at standoff. What the fuck is this game?
Listen, you have to stop right now because I just told you we all watched it at the cottage. Standoff became the shit at the cottage. I'm not even joking. It was fucking, everybody was playing standoff. It is the stupidest game of all time. We were playing it on the dock, trying to knock each other into the water. Oh my God. And we got so dead serious about it. Like, if someone took a step, we're like, oh, you can't, you're out, you can't. It was fucking unbelievable how much standoff. We made fun of it while we were watching the movie, and then everybody wanted to play it. Standoff is the new fucking shit at the cottage every year.
Is this a real game? Or
I have no idea.
No, they. No? I think what this was, I think this was an attempt to make it a real game. I think this was an attempt to make it like, oh, see that game from Jaws 3? Like, here's that game. Like, I think it was like a weird advertising thing. Obviously, nobody but anybody who's watching this movie at a cottage is playing this game after they're done watching this movie.
It is so stupid.
And he wins by making her look at his dick.
Yeah.
In itself, just a weird playoff. Hey, my flies are open.
But man, she's all over it though. She loves that line.
She loves the deal. And I love how fucking okay. So the first guy that she faces in standoff, like the beard guy, you remember him? He fucking falls over on his back when she puts him. Like, I don't know if you ever played standoff, because I'll tell you right now, guys, I have. And when you lose, you just take a step back. This guy falls so fucking hard on his back. It's so unbelievably stupid. This is one of the worst scenes in movie history. I'm not even kidding. Standoff is the stupidest game of all time.
And that's based on your knowledge of playing it at the cottage.
First-hand knowledge of playing standoff for a living. What?
For a living.
Stupidest game of all time next to the GC game.
Lord, a 2018. Here we come.
No, I'm watching it right now. He fell on his back. And his belly's hanging out. It's just amazing.
His attempts at winning over with words are great too, because he's just like, it's all in my eyes, and it's just like that, and she fucking loves it.
Weird mating ritual.
Yeah,
she's pretty fucking hot, I'm not gonna lie to
you. Oh, she's so fucking hot.
Standoff is the worst though. It's just the worst.
we then see two guys who are, well, what are these guys doing at this park?
They're gonna steal, aren't they?
Fish? Is that exotic fish?
Yeah, I think they're going for like exotic fish or something that they're gonna go sell. Yeah. I guess.
I thought they were gonna be animal activists or something like that when I first saw them, but no, I think they're just common thieves.
Yeah, so the opposite. The
animal. Yeah, they don't give a fuck about the animals.
I love how like they have like a shot of a frog just jumping towards the camera. You know that was a huge jump scare in the theaters when you had the fucking 3D glasses on.
Out of shit, those production meetings, like, okay, what else can we do in 3D?
Oh, yeah.
Came up with the frog, and that guy was like, yes, let's do the frog. This is time well spent, I'm telling you.
Kay and Mike take a walk on the beach, and like you guys were saying earlier, here's where we get our one reference to the prior films, and we learn that the one reason why Sean goes to school in Colorado is because it's far away from the ocean, and the shark attacks from when they were kids was the reason he hates the water. Right. Which makes sense. I don't know. I know a guy who, he watched this entire movie. He had no idea that these were the two same kids from those first two films. He had no idea. Like, he really? Thought there was just a, yeah, he thought it was like a whole new set of people. He had no idea.
I'm trying to think, like, if I told my kids that they were the kids, and I'm trying to think if they would have known that otherwise, and maybe not. I know they don't stress on it too much, I guess.
I think they only reference, I think they use the Brody name a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to literally go into the middle of the country to avoid sharks. I mean, you can just literally stay on land anywhere, literally anywhere. There are hundreds of people at that beach that didn't die because they didn't go in the water. Fucking Sean's the worst.
Two parallel stories are going on. We have two guys stealing underwater life from the park and Sean getting laid in the water. Quite frankly, I just don't care about either of these stories, and I'm pretty bored at this point. This movie's starting to really bore me.
Oh, it's awful. Oh. It's awful at this point.
There's no point in this film I'm bored. There's no point. Even this is weird, because she seduces him, and eventually he follows her into the water because he's ruled by his dick, apparently.
Yeah.
And even the weirdest thing about this is, like, come into the water and blah, blah, blah. And when it go back to them, they're standing in the water. Oh, and it's literally just as high as their private parts. Like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like if I was dragged into the water by some hot woman, I'd be properly in there, not sort of just stood in the cold water. How is that sexy?
Because she's hot. None of this.
Even before that, you've glossed over the fact that he's crawling along the beach and jumping over these little things. This film's the best. This film's the worst, but this film is sometimes the best.
It is sometimes the best.
That sounds like a Nikki review. Law of But the set of scenes. Like, I'm seeing Catherine and Mike make sexual innuendos about beepers. Catherine playing with dolphins and meeting Philip of Troyes, and Shelby's girlfriend yelling about his absence. I'm just waiting for something interesting to happen. And by the way, there's a shark in the water.
Yeah.
There is.
Failed effort to make us fucking like these people. And it's just laughable, all of it.
At least they went with a different direction of this film. Because although Jaws 2 is definitely a better... Sorry, Jaws 2D is definitely a better film than this one. It's kind of... I'm not going to say it's a retread of the first one, but there's definitely some similar beats. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's all set in the same place. At least with this one, they went, right, let's mix it up. Let's try and do something completely different. So I'm going to give them kudos for that. But I don't mind this too much. I don't mind this too much.
I mean, going by what you're saying, like the storyline... Like, this could be made into a fucking pretty fantastic film.
Yes.
There's a great story here. I don't think SeaWorld or Marineland is in the financial place to be in a movie like this anymore. Yeah, sure, get a fake fucking water park and have a fucking shark break into it. Fucking absolutely. There's a great story here. It does not come to fruition whatsoever in this film. Not even one second of it.
They kind of play with this a little bit in Jurassic World. A little bit. You're right. There is a great movie to be had here. There's a great horror film to be had. But obviously it's not here. Then comes a part that is among the most infamous to me. After Shelby doesn't turn up, they, of course, assume that he's stuck underwater. Because why wouldn't he just leave his girlfriend? Like, why wouldn't he just leave? He's of course, underwater, right?
Because he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good guy. But we do get one of the best lines in movie history, which is, Shelby can take a flying leap in a giant donut on a gravel driveway. You guys were criticizing Lewis Gossett Jr. for his dialogue. He didn't utter those words, my friend.
No, but he yelled about a shark's mother later on, which I'm getting to.
Sharks have mothers. Get over it.
Damn shark's mother! They, of course, are going to take a yellow submarine... A yellow submarine under the lagoon to find him.
3D yellow submarine, Garrett. Get it right.
Yeah. 3D James Bond submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these effects of the submarine are just so off the charts bad. Not to mention the skeleton waving at the camera. And yet another cheesy effect done for the sake of 3D.
Oh, that skeleton.
Stupid.
Yep.
Like, and then like they cut to her and she's like, oh, I thought for a second like that's going to be Overman. Like he's perfectly in a skeleton mode right there waving at you.
Yeah.
Oh. His name's Oscar.
It's just a prop. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't like this. This scene was probably my least favorite. Like the dialogue between them while they're in the submarine, and it's sort of cutting from scene to scene. It sounds like two people that are in a recording studio. Like there's no chemistry between them. It just sounds like they're reading off of a script.
Can we talk about the actual submarine for a minute? Because it's a yellow submarine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they have to wear full scuba gear in the submarine because, you know what? There's water in the submarine. They're not... what is the submarine for? I don't understand what it's... Because it's not a submarine. It's filled with water, and they have to wear full scuba gear inside the submarine. This is the stupidest submarine ever made.
Did you see the effects? There are obviously holes in it. Oh, wait, that was the effect. The holes were in the submarine. Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the dolphins warn them of danger, but they go underneath, and I'm going to go ahead and say, all right, we've been dogging this movie a lot, as we should, but I do like this little stretch of film where they are attacked by the baby shark. I think it's a pretty cool scene. I think it's exciting. I think it's a little bit tense, and it's helped by the Williams theme getting thrown in, you know, the Williams shark theme. I think this is a pretty cool scene. Yeah, they're helped by dolphins, which is funny. Like, they're grabbing the dolphins. But I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, guys. I haven't said anything bad about the director since we started. I want to say something bad right now. The direction in this movie is terrible.
It's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Like, there are a couple scenes, and one of them's here, and there's another one I want to point out later. But there are literally a couple scenes where he shoots Kay under the water. Bess Armstrong, she's under the water, full scuba gear, everything. And so she's swimming, and then like the very next shot, she's on top of the water, and she's yelling, "Mike, Mike, Mike!" And then the very next shot, she's under the water again in full scuba gear. Like, it is terrible, terrible directing and editing. Bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
It's amazing.
And I love how after the attack, Mike's all asking, "So what the hell was that? You mean you don't remember what you went through for two films? You don't know what that was that just attacked you?"
Yeah, like I said, I didn't like any of this. I like even just them being saved by the dolphins. It just all of it. I didn't like you say the sort of the shark revealing itself. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it, it's bad. It's not good.
I even like the music a little bit. I think the theme here again with the Williams score. I think it works. One stretch, I'm just like, okay, it's okay. So Philip Petrois, he makes the suggestion of killing the shark on camera. And Kay objects, suggesting they hold it in captivity.
This is the dialogue. This is the scene I was talking about earlier. I would have thought, even back in 83, that part of SeaWorld's remit was to be sort of conservationists, so that were trying to save sea creatures. So the prospect of some guy going, "Hey, we can kill a shark on camera," surely that wouldn't sit right with any of them at all. And then she turns around and says, "No, instead of Gus killing him, why don't we trap it and keep it in a cage?" Essentially, it's just a weird dialogue for SeaWorld to be having.
It is awful. Has there ever been like, I don't know the actual facts behind the script. Has there ever been a great white in captivity?
Not that I think. I know they had the shark experience. I know they have a whole bunch of sharks on display at these theme parks. I've been to a couple of them, but I can't recall seeing a great white. Yeah, that shark experience where like you go underneath the water and like that whole scene they show later on where they have that kind of stuff. But yeah, nothing like.
I don't remember a great white specifically being in that.
Yeah, I can't either. But it's been years since I've been to one.
I just Googled and it doesn't sound like it. It does sound like they've tried to, but they actually can't stay in captivity for too long and they die. So it's, technically impossible, as we see, actually.
Yeah, we should have known that because of Joss
Whedon. Because
I want to say this. I think the movie is a little bit ahead of its time because, I mean, this guy is pretty much a reality show subject waiting to happen, isn't he? I mean, he's trying to kill these things on camera, and isn't that like a whole lot about what's going on? If you want to do something, you need to do it on camera. You need to do it on camera. I think it's a little bit progressive in that way. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to overly praise it, but I think it's a little bit progressive in thinking, yeah, if this guy's going to want to kill it on camera because he wants to be famous for killing a shark on camera. Absolutely.
But again, it comes back to who is this guy? What is he attempting to do?
True.
Because we talked earlier and suggested that maybe he's a Steve Irwin-esque guy. Irwin wouldn't go around killing fucking sharks. I don't know what his purpose is in the world. I don't know what his resume says.
Of course, through this whole argument, I was completely distracted by the Dennis Quaid sweat stains. They were completely obvious. Why wouldn't elves cut this or at least do another take? I just don't get the choices made here. It's weird.
They got his stress levels.
Yeah, he's, I guess.
Whatever he's doing.
It's a sweaty situation.
Oh, God.
I'd be sweating in this.
Uh-huh. So it is now nighttime, and they set off to kill the shark and or capture it.
Mm-hmm.
She's over the water. She stabs it, and in the very next shot, she's under the water. It's just weird. Oh, such terrible choices.
She's quit.
I think the shark looks worse in this film than maybe 1 and 2 as well, this baby shark. It doesn't look like it moves at all. It looks like it's just a solid piece of prop that just they just push through the water.
When you see it up close, there's no movement to it. It just fucking floats. Like when you saw it hammer into the gate in that last scene, it's literally them just pushing a fucking shark prop into a gate. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's no natural movement to it whatsoever.
No.
When you very first see it, like, attack them when they were in the yellow submarine, like, I think it looks kind of cool when it's hitting those rocks. But you're right. When it's, like, up close, no, it doesn't. I mean, they do integrate some shots of a real shark swimming. You can tell. Yeah. But, yeah, when they show the prop shark, like, Spielberg was able to shoot a fucking prop shark to make it look at least a little real.
Mm.
Like, even when in this scene that we're talking about right now, the shark grabs onto her air tank.
Yeah.
There's no or anything. It just it literally hooks a tooth on her air tank and just kind of like
teething. It's just teething on a fucking thing.
Yeah. I love how all Bouchard is worried about is if the film came out okay. Everyone's okay, Cal. Yeah, but is the film okay?
even that was weird in itself because literally just before the shark arrives, he drops the camera to do something. And so them asking, is the film okay, almost feels like it's going to be like they're going to show the camera and, oh no, they didn't get a shot of the, you know, didn't get any filming of the shark.
Right.
But then it doesn't come back at all. It's really weird. He literally drops the camera just before he grabs onto the whatever her name is.
So in the next scene of her and Mike holding the shark, we see just how fucking happy she is at having the shark in captivity. God, she's so happy.
Mm.
She rubs his belly a lot.
Yeah.
This might be the most terrifying scene in the film because I just imagine myself having to walk around a great white shark in a small pond like that. I couldn't imagine anything scarier than the prospect of this that great white shark waking up.
This should be the whole movie for you. It's just them in the tank with the shark, and they have to try to get out of the tank, but they can't get out of the tank, and there's a shark in it. Would that be a better movie?
I won't lie. I fast-forwarded through this bit because I couldn't watch it. And then it does wake up, and then...
Oh, of course it does.
It's too much.
This is a great little movie here.
Yeah.
Wakes up, by the way, with the way it moves, again. It just looks so...
Yeah. That shot...
Yeah.
When it does wake up and they get out of the water and they show it from a distance of it swimming, you're right. I didn't even think about it until you said it, but we don't see him swim at all. It's literally they just push it in front of the camera and that's it.
Yep. You never see its tail wag or whatever it does, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So here's where a lot of the stories are starting to form at once, right? We see Kelly convince Sean to ride bumper boats. We see people starting to file into the underwater lagoon. And the baby shark dying in captivity, all setting up the appearance of some damn shark's mother later on. So everything's kind of coming together.
For my kids, they couldn't comprehend like that shark wasn't Jaws, like, right? Because the shark's always named Jaws, right? In these movies for the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't understand. Like, I'm like, this isn't Jaws. They're like, what do you mean it's not Jaws? Like, it's a fucking shark. It attacked them twice. It's Jaws. This is not Jaws. They couldn't understand that. And I think it is a little confusing.
Absolutely.
It's a nice reveal, though. We haven't seen two sharks in the film so far. It's always been the one. So, you know, if you are younger and whatever, this would be a bit of a good fake out.
Like the actual reveal when they're at the restaurant?
Oh, let's wait till we get there.
Yeah, okay. We're getting there.
You saying about the baby shark dying. Can we just talk again for a second about SeaWorld and what they do with their animals? Because I kind of feel like if SeaWorld did have a great white, they probably wouldn't put it in a pool that was about 3 foot high with people standing over it. Now, I know that sharks tend to stay in the water, but I do feel like that shark might jump out and bite people.
Or people would stick their arm in the water or something.
Exactly. They've literally given that the same respect that they would starfish.
Absolutely. Have they not seen Jaws? Like, didn't they see the shark on the boat?
It was out 7 years at this point.
Yeah. These are experts in their field.
Jaws 2, he ate a helicopter. They got a nose.
He'll come at you.
Well, they lived through it. Law, remember? These two lived through it.
That's right. Idiotic.
I love how the second the baby shark dies, there's like a baby crying sound effect thrown in with the music.
Yeah, so, but you know what? Other than the baby crying sound, I love how everyone just nonchalantly walks away. Like, it's like, oh, well, that's over. And they move on to the next attraction or whatever the fuck they're going to without a care in the world. They just watch the great white shark. First of all, the first great white shark in captivity ever anywhere on the planet. Uh-huh. And then they watch it die. And they just walk away like nothing happens. Like, ah, oh, well, whatever. Cotton candy, anyone?
Well, they pay for that because while exploring the underwater kingdom, the public finds the long-missing body of Obermann.
Mm-hmm.
This scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I'll admit it.
3D.
Oh, my God. Oh, how was this in theaters? Fuck.
Oh, it was petrifying. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember.
You remember the glasses, but you don't remember how this scene made you feel?
Absolutely. I only remember the end in 3D because it was so stupid.
And then what follows is an unbelievably bloody autopsy scene that I'm quite frankly shocked got past the MPAA.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
It's bad effects, but at the same time, yeah, in 83, this would have been pretty horrific.
Oh, my God. The effects are pretty bad. But, like, still, you look at it, it's like, it's fucking gruesome. She opens it up, and the fucking bug's coming out of the mouth, and, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross. It's
silly. I'm watching it right now. It's so silly.
Oh, is it that scene right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Our timing's perfect. So, after the autopsy scene, we see the first on-screen appearance of the 35-foot roaring like a lion mother shark.
For the record, I made a note. So the shark's in this pump or tube or something like that, and they obviously the gate gets released or whatever. Mm-hmm. Made an interesting fact. Sharks can't swim backwards.
No.
So that shark would have been trapped in there literally forever.
Yep, but you're looking for realism in Jaws 3.
Man. Of course I'm looking for realism in a Jaws 3D. Why wouldn't I be?
I love how like Bashar's like endorsing this fucking bubble screen. Like he's like, oh yeah, the sharks don't like that, you know. And then what happens? This fucking shark goes right past that fucking bubble screen. Doesn't give a shit.
Killed his kid.
Yeah, exactly. It killed her kid. And by the way, it's a female shark this time, not a male shark, which I thought was a weird place to take it. Really? So and it's 35 feet instead of 25 feet. It's fucking 35 feet.
It's huge.
Oh my God, Mike Ding goes much more crazy than his dad ever was as he steals a popcorn cart and is yelling in microphone and in megaphones for everyone to get out of the water.
There's a bit that I've written down. Why isn't Dennis Quaid falling off the cart a gif? Because literally, I can't wait. I don't think Law's got there on the film, but when he's in the car and he gets to somewhere and he crashes into something and he falls off, he does it so slowly. It's such a beautiful scene of cinema that I really want it to be repeated forever.
Okay. I'm gonna fucking fast forward it right now.
He runs his little stroller. She's like, shit, as he's like getting
all those little dolphin strollers. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like the last film, like amongst all this chaos, we see the fin plenty of times. We hear the original Williams score a few times, but producers, once again, they just pull back. And all we really see is a chewed up thigh. And amongst all this, we don't even see any real fucking attacks or anything. Like, you know, Leah Thompson's getting fucking, she gets bitten by a thigh. In the thigh, which by the way, that was like the only attack in this movie that I thought was actually kind of effective. Like that shot of the shark taking a bite out of her, I thought that was actually pretty effective. And that's the only time I could actually say that the shark action was actually pretty scary.
The shark was. It doesn't take too much off her leg.
I don't even know if it bit her. Like, I feel like it just fucking scraped her. I don't know. I didn't. It's weird.
It shows the mouth open and it shows the blood come out. Yeah, it bit her.
Hmm. Yeah. Bouchard, a 30-foot shark put that, like, you know what I mean? You think it would fit her whole body in its mouth, but it just took a little piece.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's anything glorious or anything, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there just should have been like a death. Like, they're so scared to fucking kill anybody in these movies. Anybody of note, at least. Bouchard reassures the scared undersea kingdom that their guides will point them out in the most convenient exits and yells at his personnel to get some shit down there. In the meantime, setting black people back centuries with his continued dialect.
Jesus. Wow.
It's fucking terrible. This is... why would he take this role?
Why wouldn't he? This is a tremendous film. This is the forefront of 3D technology, Garrett. I mean, this literally could have... This could have done for him what Avatar did for Sam Worthington.
Here's the thing. Like, he's actually on a documentary, because I watched a lot of shit on this movie. He's on a documentary, like, about the making of this movie and a lot about, like, how sharks actually act. He's really endorsing this film, and it's just like, holy shit, like, you really, really were endorsing this thing, and... You made people think it was going to be scary, and then when they see you, it's like, wow.
My favorite part of the movie is exactly right after what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're walking through the tunnel, and the little girl says, "Daddy, Daddy, look at the fish," and no one fucking pays any attention to her whatsoever. And then she's like, "Would you walk?" And he turns around and goes, "Holy shit!" That's the fucking part of the movie. It is.
Law just pointed out, so the mama shark then attacks the kingdom, trapping them underwater, and I have no idea how the water pressure stops, but it does.
Yeah, they seal it. Seal the doors. Yeah.
Well, eventually, but... I mean, they sealed it from the control room, is what you're saying.
I assume so.
It's like a safety or something. Once the water leaks, okay. I think the door's shut, yeah.
Nice to have a bit of non-shark-related terror as well, like the idea of them being trapped in there with the water. It's a nice little touch, something, give it a little bit of credit. They try to do something different with that rather than it just being, oh, I'm going to be eaten by a shark like every other Jaws film. Yeah, something different.
Fitrois gets another brilliant idea of getting the shark in the filtration pipes and trapping her while using live bait.
This fucking guy.
See, I don't mind him as much as I don't like his, like, assistant or whatever this guy is, because all this guy does every time he's on screen is fucking yell. Like, that's all this guy does. His French little buddy or whatever he is.
I don't mind assistant. Him. He's okay.
Of course you don't.
You love him?
I don't love him.
You love him?
But I feel he's a more realistic character than Fitzroy. I've met and seen people like him.
Have you
I've
really?
Never met. To Let's some get degree, those stories. Yeah. To some degree.
You've never met anyone like Fitzroy, so?
No. No, thankfully.
I love when they get locked in the room with the water and they all, like, think the shark's in with them. That's awesome, because they're all, like, looking for the sharks in there. I would be, too. That would be me. I'd be like, what the fuck is in here?
I love how, like, the guide is, like, she's also, like, a medical expert, too. Like, she's telling them how to breathe, and she knows her shit when it comes to this.
She has been trained, okay?
Yes.
This is world, sir. This is fucking highly trained fucking individuals working the park.
There was a day at training where they said, right, guys, and just in case a giant shark ever attacks the tunnel and you're trapped in a room with a lot of water, this literally everyone else tapped out, but she was there. She thought, this might come in handy one day. Good on you. Good on you for taking your job seriously.
Yep.
So they accomplish trapping the shark, but the lifeline breaks, and perhaps the most hilarious Jaws death I have ever seen starts happening as we see the shark chew Fitzroy's up like a child chewing Cheerios. This is fucking horrible.
So bad.
And you know what really sucks about it is that you're seeing the teeth, and they're like fiberglass teeth, and you can totally tell. And it's just like, oh, it's terrible.
I love how slow the shark moves through this whole sequence.
Yeah.
This is a shark that nearly caught people on a speedboat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yet, a guy slowly swimming he couldn't catch him. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
This whole scene. And as Garrett said, the bit of seeing seeing him being eaten, a point of view shot of inside the shark's mouth was just...
No teeth involved, by the way. It's just eating it.
Yeah. He was crunched up by the roof of her mouth is what it comes down to.
And doesn't even swallow him. Leaves him there.
No.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
This film is the best.
Wait till next week. That's all I'll say. It sure doesn't take long for Mama Shark to get out, and then Bouchard yells to get him up.
Get him up.
Oh my god.
Again, this is weird. He says to switch off the pumps, but I don't. It's like a big deal. Like it's going to change something. But
he says that he wants to drown the bitch, and so he wants to turn off the pumps. But
nothing happens.
No.
Yeah.
Because she gets out.
I would at least have liked to have seen that be a reason that she got out, or that they tried to drown her and it didn't work because she's too big of a motherfucker. It was just literally a line that felt like it was going to be more dramatic than it actually was, because she just, by swimming backwards, which she cannot do, she managed to break out.
Yeah.
This film is the best.
She takes a bite out of a dolphin. And again, I want to call it out. The directing here is terrible, because I don't know when the shark's biting and when it's not. And I believe it is here where the filmmakers just kind of gave up in making this a scary monster movie. It's like, instead, we're just going to go to camp land. You know, I don't think they fucking care at this point. The tone is just so off, and it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Nope.
The dolphin beat its ass, though. The dolphins beat Jaws' ass for a bit.
Yeah.
For a bit. Like, case in point, okay? We see the people leave the underwater kingdom safely, right? Mm-hmm. But then we cut to perhaps the worst mat work I've ever seen on a big screen scale. And it was done strictly for 3D purposes. Mm-hmm. Like, this shark coming towards the window. Nate, what were you thinking when you were seeing this shark come towards the fucking window?
Yeah, pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Is this the slow-mo shark?
Yes.
It's definitely one of the worst scenes in cinematic history. It's horrible. And like you say, the green screen of it is just terrible. It's awful. It's
amazing. It's not even moving its tail fin whatsoever.
No.
During
No.
It literally is like if you had a cutout of a shark and moved it closer to a camera. That is exactly what's happening. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I bet you wish we were down at the beach with old Sean getting laid now, don't you? I do feel the second half of this film is much worse than the first half. I'm with this film. I'm with this film when it's building character and building the suspense.
You need to watch the end of this movie again and realize how quickly the one girl dies when the shark breaks through the glass. I'm not even lying. She dies in less than 2 seconds.
Uh-huh. That's a big shock.
But no, like, it doesn't, nothing happens. Like, he doesn't eat her. Like,
oh, that's what you're saying. She dies of fright.
She, I think it has to be. It has to be that. She's literally dead 2 seconds after the glass breaks. Like, she's floating in the water.
Wait a second. No. Because they say when they get up out on the surface of the water, when they end up killing the shark, they say that her and Calvin got away. Because if you watch it, you see Calvin grab her arm, and they're swimming away.
I think there's another one. I think there's a
second one.
Watch
it again.
Okay, I'm going to watch it right now.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then turn on the subtitles for the end. Sure.
Calvin grabbed her.
Yeah. You don't see him. You see Fred get eaten. Poor Fred. You see Fred get eaten, but you don't see him. He gets away scot-free.
You're right. Maybe she just got knocked out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
How does anybody get eaten with Fitzroy still in the mouth?
I don't know. I don't know what Jaws is doing here.
Yeah.
I love that all these sharks are called Jaws.
Yeah,
I love that it just moves on to the next shark.
There's one good scene in this whole aspect is when they show the behind scene of the shark with its head in the fucking portal or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I like that scene because it's actually moving. It actually, you know, there's CGI involved here almost, and it actually looks like, oh, all right, cool. But then you go back into the portal and you're like, god damn it.
I will say as well, I don't know if it's to scale or whatever, but it does actually also show you how big the shark is, because she is stuck with her head in this place, this control room, and you think inside the control room it must be 6-7 foot, well, probably about 10-15 foot high.
I'm watching right now. Yeah, but so from the back, like I was just talking about, like you're talking about, it looks like it's stuck in there, right? Like it can't move forward or backwards. But then you go back in, and I just saw the scene where he swims over top of its head to get to the other side. Mm-hmm. And there's literally like 4 feet on each side of the shark's head between the the shark could literally go right inside and swim around in that fucking room. It's so stupid.
Didn't want to.
One good fucking shot in this whole movie. That was it.
But come on, well, we're seeing this lion roar too, which is always distracting. Every time this shark roars. I mean, come on. I mean, and not to mention the shark would just die. She would die without even moving anyway. And this whole fucking ending scene. And you're right, Nate. Like, the end of this movie is far worse. But at the same time, the beginning is pretty terrible too, because we're like the fuck. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the way the picture is in this movie is terrible. Like, the distortion of the screen is just, it's really, really bad. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's a result of having 3D back in 1983 or what, but God damn, the resolution on this picture was just terrible.
Grainy, horrible, yeah.
Absolutely.
So they see Fatroyce's grenade still in her mouth. They pull the pin, swim away, and a bloody explosion with jaws coming towards the camera ends the threat. Now, Law, you saw this in the theater. How was this in the theater?
This is literally the only scene I remember from seeing this movie in the theater, and it was so fucking hilarious. The jaws, when the jaws float towards the screen at the end, and you're like, oh, it's fucking Jaws, get it? It's amazing. It's just, it was bad then in 83 when I was fucking 9 years old, and it's unbearable at this point. It's just so bad, everything about it.
It starts off, made note here, it does start off okay, the explosion, but yeah, the second that body parts start flying at the camera just undermines it completely.
I mean, the explosion isn't anything we haven't seen in the whole movie, because it's pretty much like, you know, you see in the blood, and like it's like the blood before the catfish got into her mouth, you know? I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Once the teeth and everything just starts flying towards the screen, it's like, holy shit, this is bad. Mm.
It's bad.
So Kay and Mike get out of the water, and her one concern is the dolphins, which is funny to me. They jump out of the water, and I had a friend, the same friend I actually, who tried convincing me that the woman in Jaws 1 popped when Jaws bit her. He told me that when you watch this movie, he tried so hard to convince me that you could see where the shark bit the dolphin as the dolphin jumped in the air, but it didn't take me long to realize that this line of thinking, along with this movie, was just flat-out bullshit.
I just feel bad for you that that's something that you had to sit there and rewind and fucking look.
Dude, you're not kidding. Like, I was on my parents taped this for me off like a VHS tape. I rewound that fucking end scene so many times trying to see that blood coming out of that dolphin, and I didn't see it, and it enraged me. Just enraged me. I was an angry kid even then.
Yeah, it's not something I would have cared too much about, even if I was told just to look out for it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can see where the shark bit the cool. And then that was pretty much it, Nate. Like, you'd just be like, cool.
Yeah, good. Okay, fine. I'm not watching Jaws 3D for the dolphins. I don't. This fucking ending, though. This bit of tension where we were suddenly supposed to be scared about one of the dolphins not surviving.
Yeah. Oh, this is my kids were fucking sitting on the edge of their seat, literally. Like, where's the other dolphin? They said they brought it up before I even brought it up, which is like, I don't know. It seems like good storytelling to me.
we've just seen a bunch of humans barely survive, and they're worried about this one dolphin. and then even after that, when we get the final thing where you get to see them both framed by the
the freeze frame. I have it up right now on my screen. It's so glorious. You guys have
Is it going to be your screensaver now? Is that
it? Might be, it is amazing.
It's horrible.
In the article, Garrett, because it's just.
I will.
The dolphins are golden, aren't they?
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, it's fake dolphins pop up at the end and do. They're mirroring each other, doing the exact same thing. With Dennis Quaid and his stupid girlfriend with her hands up in the air. It's one of the worst freeze frames to end a movie of all time.
awful.
And
horrible.
You know what? You got to think about it, though. Like, a lot of work went into this movie because there are times when, and we've been given everybody in this movie a hard time, but like there are times when she looks authentic riding that whale. She looks authentic with those dolphins. Like they, I'm sure they had to do a hell of a lot of training and work to get this done. And you're going to SeaWorld and you're working with animals, you're working with fish, and how the hell do you train actors to work with animals? Think about the work that goes into that shit. And, but you would think they would fine tune the script just a little bit because god damn, they just didn't care.
I love that that's the criteria. Because they went to SeaWorld, they must have had a better script.
No! What I'm saying is you go through all the work to do this.
Yeah, yeah, and... I know what you're saying.
Oh, fuck.
They've put the attention to detail in the wrong place.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you guys give Jaws 3, Jaws 3D, the third Jaws film? I will go to Nate first.
I'm gonna give this a 5 on 10.
Five? That's a little
That high. Seems really high.
Yeah. are you really high, Nate?
It is when you consider I think I gave Jaws 2 6. This is an absolute abomination of a film in many ways. There are, if I was to try and sit, if you wanted me to give you like a pros and cons and give you the positives of this film, there wouldn't be anywhere near as many positives as there were negatives. However, that said, I was way more into and enjoying this. I was entertained by this way more than I was Jaws 2. I found it difficult to watch and critique 2 because I just didn't care about a lot of it. And I'm not going to say I care about a lot of this, but in a horrible, cheesy way, I was at least entertained by this. And it's easy as well, the fact that there's a lot of sort of so bad it's good moments. Things like the dolphin picture, things like the 3D elements. They're so cheesy and bad that I'm at least getting a kick out of having fun with it. But at the same time, it's not a good film. So that's why I can't go any higher than 5. I'm literally giving it as high a grade as I possibly could without questioning my sanity.
Jim Law.
I don't know why Nate had to ruin my whole night by fucking shitting on Jaws 2 at the end of the day. God damn it.
Jaws 2D.
Jaws 2D was way better than Jaws 3D, I'll tell you that right now. And in fact, I'm going to give this a 3D out of 10.
Oh!
Really a 3D. Not a 3A. 3A is way better. This is a 3D out of 10. It's a horribly made film. It's horribly acted. It's horribly written. The effects are fucking ridiculous. How do you go? Well, I'd like to know the budget difference. I know this is made quite a few years after Jaws 2, but what was the budget difference, Garrett? Do you know?
$12 million. $12 million because the second one was 30, and this was 18, so it was $12 million.
Oh, this was lower.
This was lower. Yeah.
3D movie is lower than a fucking what?
Yep.
I think that explains everything.
Actually it does a little bit. I'm gonna can I make it a 3B now?
Well, take into account the first Jaws cost $9 million to make.
Okay, let me go to Jaws then. Okay, this doubled the fucking budget for that film, and it's not even close to the effects of that movie. I mean, there's even shit to be talked about the effects of Jaws 2, as I heard you fucking assholes do for fucking an hour and a half. A week. But this movie is an abomination, technically, professionally, just socially. Everything about this film sucks dick. And the worst part is, it's not even... I don't want to spoil the next one, but... 3D
out of 10. You know, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, the more I think about that Jaws 3 people nothing idea, the more I would have rather seen that than this.
I want them now. Would you, okay, so I'll wait for you to give your score, but I have a question after.
So the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, that would have probably worked. The problem with this movie, the main problem with it, as ridiculous a concept as this is, they take it so serious. This is a serious movie, and as a result, by not embracing this concept, they are making it seriously flawed. It is a flawed movie. The effects are terrible. There are one or two scenes I can kind of like, but everything about it is just, it's tough to watch. The film is grainy. Dennis Quaid is walking through. Fucking Louis Gossett Jr. is doing a line, going on set, laughing, and going back home. This is just a shitty movie. It's an abomination of a film. And that's why I can't have fun with it. Like you said, like last week you said, if you go into three thinking you're going to have fun, I think you're going to have fun with it. I can't have fun with this because it's too fucking serious. And when you're seeing that shark come toward that fucking window and you're seeing how ridiculous it is and how frightened all these people are at that, which doesn't move its tail, as you've pointed out, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So as a concept, as a movie, this is a 2 out of 10 for me. There's just nothing for me to fucking embrace with this movie. 2 out of 10, and that's basically because I like the dolphin safe scene, and that's about it.
You guys are the worst. Just before Law asks his question, I'm just going to anger him by saying I'm fairly certain I've given this a higher score than one of the Indiana Jones movies. So,
are you trying to fucking piss me off before I go to
bed?
Yeah,
a little bit. Thought I'd do it at the end of the show rather than the beginning.
Gary, you made a good point about something I said last week about if you go into this the wrong way. I think Nate did absolutely that. He went into this with the right mindset, and that's why he's giving it a 5. He's still an asshole, but he gave it a 5 because he fucking knew what to expect in it. Now, I don't know how to tell him to approach Jaws 4, but let's just say, I'm not going to say anything. I want you to fucking experience Jaws 4 on your own. However you think you should go into it, go into it. Here's my question. Would you watch a Jaws 3D remake by today's standards?
So are you saying the same film but with 3D technology, or are you saying an actual remake with with new actors and things like that?
Yeah, new actors, new...
So an actual remake.
Tweaked script, yeah, like same setting.
But haven't we seen it been remade with Sharknado and all these fucking shark sci-fi movies coming out? I feel like we kind of have. I feel like we've had seen this be distorted many, many times. Deep Blue Sea, all these movies... I feel like we've seen it just get saturated, and I think any potential for a remake, an effective remake, has gone down the tubes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it would work at all, but I do like your point about Deep Blue Sea. It probably is the closest thing to this film, right?
Yeah, because they're all absolutely
like sharks, kind of stuck into a small. To be the other thing, yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah. I'm with Law though. I honestly don't know how to tell you to approach Jaws 4. All I'm going to say is prepare yourself. It's just, I will probably have more fun talking about that movie than I did talking about this movie. Let's put it that way. Because I did not have fun talking about this movie. I had fun talking about it, but I didn't have fun watching. No, I had fun talking about it, but I didn't have fun watching it. And I think tomorrow's
on the ground. Like that was a lot of what?
I wouldn't want to see this remade by today's standards because I feel there's too many classics that are remade.
Nate going for the easy answer.
I don't know.
What'd you think, Law? What did you think?
About what? Being remade?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it just comes to a greater question. Like, is there something in me that wants another good Jaws movie? And obviously there is, but the key word there is good. Like, I want it guaranteed to be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's surprising to me that it's gotten away from them. They stopped making Jaws movies, and yet this is the movie set up a genre for so many other things, like Sharknado and all that kind of shit. Now it's just kind of be made fun of. I would love a fucking good continuation of the Jaws films, but this is something I had to let go a long time ago. Like, it's just never going to happen. It's been ruined. Nate, after next week's viewing, you won't want it to happen either. It's just not gonna happen. There's just no possible way for it to happen. That's why I'm looking forward to something like Meg that's coming out. You know, you get a big shark movie. Yeah, I just want a retake on it. I was obsessed with fucking Jaws for so many years, and
so
I just had that taste of it. Deep Blue was good. It wasn't Jaws.
Yeah. All right, that does it for Jaws 3. We have one more podcast to go, boys.
Mm-hmm.
and it might be the best one yet. I want to thank Nate for bearing with our drunken asses. We probably sound like Quint throughout the course of this entire podcast, and you stuck with us. And considering how much you hate Quint, I appreciate that. And I know Law and Alex, you guys said this earlier this week, but I just want to thank everybody for putting us over the hump for the Indiegogo. I think that's amazing. I think this is just a glorious moment for the site, and I think we see great things in the future, and we have you guys to thank. So thank you for that.
Glorious moment for the site.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, the last time I watched this was when we did it for movie homework last year, as a matter of fact. Thanks, guys. Till next week, I guess we'll be swimming with bow-legged women, huh?
Yep.
Too late.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
Nathan.
Hi, guys.
There he
is. Oh, there.
Yes.
Sorry about that. My computer was on standby, and it wasn't letting me get this conversation up for some reason, so...
Nathan.
Nate, we are so drunk.
Don't call me Nathan. That's weird.
But it says it on Skype. It says Nathan, so I have to call you that.
Don't call me Nathan.
It says Nathan.
Well, it says Jim Law. I'm not going to call you Jim Law all the time.
Well, you can call me Jim.
Well, okay.
That was fine. It was your choice to put Nathan. Okay, it was not my choice.
This is going to be a fun show. I can feel it. I'm in for a fun time.
Yeah, we are hammered.
Excellent.
You guys ready?
Yeah, I feel like I should watch the movie while we do this one.
I was so tempted to do this.
Have you watched it, Law, since we...
Yeah, we watched it at the cottage, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we did.
Fucking hell.
We did talk about it. Yeah. He's going to be this big of an asshole the entire podcast, I guarantee.
Oh, I just got my ass handed to me in a, spoiler alert, Garrett Collins game. Like, the worst blow of all time in the Garrett Collins
game.
And I'm not so happy about it at all.
He hates me right now.
Who was on the show? It's you two and... Alex?
It was me, Alex, and then Jack came on to be the third party scorer.
Oh, and then at one point, you had just given your score, and he sent me a message saying, "Score?" I hadn't sent the score yet. I didn't realize I hadn't sent it yet. I'm like, "Fuck!"
Oh, cocksucker! You cheated!
Oh, no!
Oh, you cheated! This is great.
You guys ready?
This all goes in. Yeah, let's put this in the outtakes of the show.
I was just going to ask you something. Oh, is there a version of this? Like, you know how they have 3D televisions now?
Yeah. Tit televisions? Did you say tit televisions?
No.
Okay. But yeah, so that's the making of this movie. Let's get into the movie, shall we?
Okay.
Why not?
So we start off with the Jaws theme.
My mum says she was there, but I don't think she was.
She saw it, but she didn't.
Guys, I really have to take a piss break. Like, it's an emergency. I really have to go.
All right.
Outtake. I don't know what his purpose is in the world. I don't know what his resume says. His porpoise, if you will.
I am. Nate, god damn it.
Hey, I've already... Listen. Don't attack me, because I've actually got written down a pun that I didn't go for, and I'm not going to say it now because I respect you too much.
Please say it.
When they were saved by the dolphins, I was going to say I thought the dolphin rescue scene is a little too on the bottlenose. So I skimmed over that one for you, and you brought me back to it. So
that is amazing. Both amazing.
I fucking love puns. I love puns to death.
He literally drops the camera just before he grabs onto the, whatever her name is. I don't want to learn her name.
Yeah, she has no name.
Yeah. Woman.
Woman. Her name's Kay, by the way.
Kay, there we go.
Damn it. I just told the story on the BingeCast, but fish eat your nipples, Nate. That's what happens.
Oh, let's not go there. Listen to the BingeCast to get it. You don't need to hear it here, but it's fucking glorious the way he says in the BingeCast. I'll just say
fish
that.
Fish eat your nipples. Good yes. Band name.
Let's see what happens.
Good band name.
They've put the attention to detail in the wrong place.
Yeah. Did we lose Law?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I heard a little.
I'm sending you a picture of the freeze frame.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Look at that. Look at that. Awful.
It's amazing. Come on.
Till next week, I guess we'll be swimming with bow-legged women, huh? What are we going to say, Nate?
I'm just going to say goodbye. Thank you very much for having me on. This has been a very entertaining little podcast.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.